Now, from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Monday, November 4th.
Archbishop Michael Sheehan has told Catholic faithful to vote for Albuquerque's late-term abortion ban that would bar the procedure after 20 weeks of pregnancy. Sheehan made his remarks at a special mass Sunday evening in Albuquerque, wherein he also expressed hope that state lawmakers would enact a similar statewide law in the upcoming 2014 legislative session. Sheehan asserts that the lack of such laws now draws late-term abortion seekers from around the country to New Mexico. Duke City voters go to the polls on the matter on November 19th. New Mexico state lawmakers are in the process of rewriting the state's criminal code. The criminal code is a compilation of all state crimes and punishments, but it hasn't been updated in more than 40 years. Albuquerque Republican Senator Lisa Turaco is co-chair of the new Criminal Justice Subcommittee.
So the committee that we're putting together is designed for complete criminal justice reform. What I would like to see is the state of New Mexico to get smart on criminal justice.
Turaco says the legislative panel will seek input from New Mexicans over the next 2 years and will draft a new set of criminal laws to be presented to the 2015 legislature. Roswell's Valley Meat Company has scored a court victory that will allow it to begin horse slaughtering operations for the export of meat outside the U.S. Heading into the weekend, a U.S. district judge in Albuquerque dismissed a lawsuit contending that federal officials failed to perform the proper studies before granting permits to the facility. The Humane Society plans to appeal the ruling. The Roswell Equine Slaughterhouse, along with a similar facility in Iowa, could start up business this week. Lawsuits filed over the 2011 Las Conchas fire could end up costing the Hamas Mountains Electric Co-op millions of dollars. The cooperative's general manager told the New Mexican it's too soon to know how much it will have to pay or the effect on customers. The blaze started by a downed power line, and the co-op is among three entities being sued by property owners and insurance companies that fault the utility for not maintaining the power line's easement. The Hamas Mountains co-op serves Española and rural customers in four counties. Santa Fe police say that a suspicious briefcase found sitting outside City Hall Sunday afternoon posed no threat to public safety. When first discovered, the bomb squad was called out with the nearby section of Lincoln Avenue shut down for 4 hours. After x-rays, the case was found to be empty. Police say there are initials on the case presumed to identify the owner and that the case can be retrieved today without fear of any charges at this time. At the end of tonight's agenda for the Santa Fe Finance Committee is discussion of a resolution on climate change. It asks that the matter be seen as a real and growing threat to Santa Feans and would urge the U.S. Congress to levy an annually increasing fee on carbon at points of production and importation. The resolution is being carried by City Councilor Patty Boucher and goes before the full City Council next week. Los Alamos National Laboratory launches its Frontier in Science lectures tonight with LANL scientist Vincenzo Chitiano, discussing how did we survive the Big Bang. Chitiano will explore the Big Bang's resulting asymmetry of matter and antimatter, and whether known laws of physics can explain how matter survived the Big Bang, which led to the formation of galaxies, stars, and planets, and eventually us. Dwayne Smith Auditorium in Los Alamos hosts tonight's lecture at 7 p.m. You can also hear it Wednesday night in Albuquerque or Friday night in Santa Fe. Peanut farmers here in New Mexico and neighboring Texas are finding themselves without an at-the-ready buyer for their crops. That comes in the wake of the bankruptcy and closure of Sunland Incorporated of Portales, which had been the nation's largest processor of organic peanut butter. The plant was identified as the source of a national salmonella outbreak and never financially recovered after being forced to shutter operations for a time. The Clovis News Journal reports local farmers stand to lose millions of dollars from their 2013 harvest, originally under contract to Sunland, and will instead have to pay storage costs as they seek new buyers. Santa Fe's Parks Division today begins the annual installation of thousands of holiday lights among trees gracing the historic plaza. The work will continue through November 27th and will require sections of the plaza to be barricaded and closed to public access. Weather for Santa Fe, clouds on the increase throughout the day with a 20% chance for showers, highs only in the mid-50s, a 50% chance for precipitation tonight with rain in town and snow in the mountains, according to meteorologist Clay Anderson with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque.
In terms of, you know, storm total snowfall amounts, we'd be looking at some isolated totals.
Tuesday will be cooler with highs only in the upper 40s and still a chance for showers. I'm Tom Tropebridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And in an item just into the newsroom, state police say traffic is restricted to one lane on northbound U.S. 285 at State Road 399 due to a fatal crash in Espanola. Reports indicate that the crash occurred in front of the Dreamcatcher Theater. At this time, police are unsure whether the victim died in the accident or prior to it from a medical condition. Police are urging drivers to slow down as they drive into Espanola from Santa Fe. They expect to be on scene for at least another hour. At Noon on KSFR will continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
12 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR segues to today's feature stories. As the Affordable Care Act is rolled out, issues have developed with the sign-in process, leading to frustration and anger among the folks trying to sign up for a health care plan. It turns out one website dealing with the issue has worked just fine. That's the information line at ARP. Here to talk about it is Gene Varela, the state director of ARP. Gene, tell us about the website.
ARP recognized that many people would have a lot of questions about how the health care law would work, and so we established a website called healthlawanswers.org. It's healthlawanswers.org. And the website is designed to allow individuals to go in, put in their information, and find out how they may be eligible for the benefits within the healthcare law. So it's one where you go in, you answer some questions about what's your situation and what you might be looking for, and then it gives you some information about what you might be eligible for under the program. So it helps to answer questions about the health care law.
Now, the one thing people cannot do on your website is actually sign up for a plan, correct?
That's correct, because the only official sign-up is within either the federal or the state government, whoever's running the particular marketplace in their state. And in New Mexico, individuals will sign up through you can go through the New Mexico site, bewellnm.com, but you will be linked into the federal site. And if you're in a small business, you will enroll locally.
And from what you hear from your members and others, how is the sign-up process going now?
Well, I think it's mixed. The site that serves the small businesses is working well because that is established within the state. The site that enrolls individuals is running into the same problems that it's happening across the nation because we're not enrolling in the state, we're enrolling through the federal site. And so the same problems that individuals are running into across the nation, individuals are running into here in New Mexico. But I think what you're seeing, and I've been watching the national reports just like everyone else, I think that the federal government is pushing to correct all of the problems and make sure that it works. And I think I think we're going to see over time that all of those issues are going to be resolved. Our hope is that they will be done as quickly as possible.
With a program as big as this and affecting so many people, would you say you're not surprised to see some glitches at its launch?
That's what we've encountered, and I think that if you go back and look at the times when the most recent situation was the implementation of Medicare Part D, it was not as massive, so you didn't have as big of a push, but it was very complicated. People had a lot of confusion about how they were supposed to sign up. In that case, you had multiple options available to individuals, so it was even more complicated with trying to make decisions. And back when Medicare was started, everything we've seen is that nothing happened perfectly right at the start. It required some work over time to really get everything working well so that individuals could get in there very easily.
A number of New Mexicans have a COBRA policy in effect. Does the Affordable Care Act replace the need for such policies?
it's hard to say. COBRA is your coverage when you retire or you leave an employment. And so in some cases, it's cheaper to stick with the COBRA if your particular company has a decent plan that offers good benefits and offers a good price, then it may be worth it to stay with that. But what we've been seeing is, in most cases, COBRA plans tend to be more expensive. And so the healthcare law, the healthcare plans that are available, should be much more reasonable to get into for most individuals. And that's just, I've dealt with a number of people here who come in that situation, and they're just faced with extremely high premium costs because you're paying the cost that your employer paid previously plus your own premium. And so I believe that it's going to be cheaper to go through the healthcare registration to find out what you can get through that program.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
A couple of things. I think one is remind people who are on Medicare that you don't have to do anything. There still is a lot of confusion out there about whether if you're already enrolled in Medicare, do I need to go through this process? And you don't. You already have coverage. You have to make your normal decisions now during the Medicare enrollment period, that if you want to change a plan or make some revisions to your plan, now is the time to do it. You've got a window of time. But under the healthcare law, you don't have to do anything. The other is that in New Mexico, many individuals may be eligible for the Medicaid expansion. If you're between ages, I think it's 18 and through 64, you need to check to see you may be eligible under the state's Medicaid program to be eligible for health care coverage rather than through the federal health care registration process. So people should check the Human Services Department website or talk to Human Services Department staff about that.
Gene Varela of New Mexico ARP, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Programming is underwritten in part by the New Mexico Land Conservancy, a nonprofit celebrating 11 years working with New Mexico landowners to preserve our land heritage by conserving the places they love. This year's Jane Wing Pachesky Conservation Award will be given to fourth-generation rancher Jim Winder at an upscale Western gala featuring Sid Masters and the Swing Riders and locally sourced food at the Farmers Market Pavilion on November 8th. To learn more, visit nmlandconservancy.org.
18 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. This new month of November begins with reductions to the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, referred to as SNAP and previously known as food stamps. Overall, the reduction amounts to about $36 a month for a recipient family of four. The cuts come as Congress fails to approve a new budget for the nation, as SNAP provisions are contained in a five-year omnibus farm bill administered by the Department of Agriculture. Some 21% of our state's population, including children, seniors, and veterans, receive the benefits, the nation's second highest rate after Mississippi. A 2012 Urban Institute report found that our state had the largest increase in the number of people seeking such assistance over 5 years, at a rate pegged at 89%. KSFR's Marion Cox spoke with Gail Evans, the legal director for the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, to talk about the impacts of the reduction of benefits just now being enacted, and she files this report.
Gail, tell us what the numbers are of people in New Mexico that are affected by the SNAP program and by reduced benefits.
Well, the impact of the cut to the SNAP program is huge for our state because so many people in our state rely on SNAP to feed their families. Right now, we have about 440,000 New Mexicans on SNAP, which is about a fifth of our population. Our SNAP program has been steadily growing for the last few years, and we expect that it will continue to do so given what's going on with the economy and given that the poverty situation in our state, the amount of people living in poverty, continues to grow. SNAP really is a benefit for people who are very low income. A family of three was receiving at most of about $500 a month, and now it's going to drop by $30 for a family of three. So while $30 might not sound like a lot of money, if you're trying to feed your whole family on just a few hundred dollars, really every $10 is significant.
Even at a point where the benefits are diminishing, the demand is growing. And in the state of New Mexico, the Pew Charitable Trust projects that within the next year alone, there will be 442,000 recipients in the state of New Mexico, representing 21% of the population, that New Mexico will experience $47 million of lost benefit, and that of the projected 442,000 recipients next year, 217,000 of those will be children, 62,000 will be the elderly, over 65. What is unique about the situation New Mexico may find itself in as we see these benefits shrinking?
We have more children in our state live in what's called extreme or deep poverty than almost any other state in the country. 14% of our children are living in what is called deep poverty, and about a third of our children are living in poverty. So we speak every week, almost every day, to families who are trying to feed their children and simply can't do that. And when kids are hungry, it impacts their development, it impacts their cognitive brain development, it impacts how they do in school, and ultimately it impacts the economy of our entire state. The people who are currently on the program have all received a notice in English, only in English, telling them that their SNAP benefits are going to be reduced. And this is causing a great concern, in some instances panic, in the families that rely on this benefit to feed their family.
Did I understand you correctly that all those notices have gone out in English language only?
That is correct. And we have contacted the department and asked them to translate those notices and to resend them out in Spanish and in English to every household so that people can understand what's going on with their SNAP benefit if they don't read English well. There is a federal requirement that in New Mexico, because such a large population of our state speaks Spanish and relies on Spanish, that everything is to be translated into Spanish before it is sent out.
And remind our listeners, on June the 1st, there was another provision associated with the SNAP program that went back into effect.
Well, under the American Recovery Act, the states were all given the option of waiving the work requirements. Yeah, right now, our state is choosing to reimpose a work requirement on SNAP recipients, which really makes no sense. We have an unemployment problem in our state. We have an unemployment system that is failing our state. So right now, folks are having a really hard time even accessing their unemployment. And now they are going to be forced to meet certain work requirements, or else they are also going to be thrown off of their SNAP. They could continue to waive those work requirements, but they're choosing not to. This is something the state doesn't have to do. It's something our state is choosing to do, which is very worrisome.
What is the state's approach to assisting SNAP recipients that will be experiencing less money to buy food?
I'm not sure that the state has a plan. I think that the food banks are already overburdened and can't feed the hungry that come there. I know that some schools are now, through the help of the food bank, sending kids home with backpacks of food because kids don't have anything to eat from their last school lunch on Friday until their first school breakfast on Monday morning. Our state is relying on individual donations. And while the people in New Mexico are very generous and I think have a real ethic of wanting to help each other, I don't see that in our state human services department. The benefit amount is already too low to last for a whole month. So the thought that either Democrats or Republicans would even consider further
That's KSFR's Marion Cox speaking with Gail Evans, the legal director for the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Greenfire Times, a new monthly publication focusing on all things green, including health, healing, organic foods, nutrition, permaculture, sustainability, green-collar jobs, and renewable energy. Greenfire Times is distributed at newsstands from Albuquerque to Taos. More information and an online edition can be found at greenfiretimes.com.
26 minutes past the hour. Two New Mexicans have recently succumbed to rare infectious diseases found here in our state. Here's KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
Two New Mexicans have died recently from rare but scary diseases found in the state. One became the first Santa Fe County resident to succumb to hantavirus. The other died from plague. Dr. Paul Edestad is a state veterinarian with the New Mexico Department of Health. He says that although this is not as common a time to see hantavirus in our state, it's not unheard of.
We've had cases all year round in New Mexico. The majority of our cases do actually occur, late spring and early summer, so April, May, June, July. But we've had cases all year round, and we often do see a little bit of a spike in cases in the early fall when it starts to get cold, because then some of the mice are trying to get inside the house for warmth and shelter and possibly food also. So we occasionally have cases this time of year.
The plague victim was an older man from a different county.
We did have an 80-year-old gentleman from Bernalillo County who unfortunately was our fourth human plague case in New Mexico this year, and unfortunately it was a fatal case. So it's something that we don't like to report. Unfortunately, we need to remind people that some of these diseases potentially can be serious and fatal.
There are specific precautions people can take to avoid hantavirus.
The best defense is try to avoid disturbing areas of rodent infestation, especially their nests and their droppings. If you have a closed-up building like a shelter or some shed in the back or whatever where the mice might be, try to air that building up before entering it. Mice can get into your home through the hole the size of a dime. So just go around your house now and make sure you seal up all the holes and cracks that the mice might be able to get into. And again, if you do have droppings in your house, simple spray bottle of just about any disinfectant, spray it on that. Wait about 10 or 15 minutes. That'll kill the hantavirus and then just wipe it up. The thing you don't want to do is if you have droppings or whatever is to take a broom and start sweeping it up and you aerosolize it up into the air and that can put you at risk.
Likewise, there's some steps that can be taken to cut down on the risk of getting the plague.
Again, it's about people avoiding sick and dying rodents. Don't be picking those things up. And again, if you can clean up areas near your house where the rodents might live, like wood piles or brush piles, junk or abandoned vehicles, anything that allows the mice and the mouse and the rodent population to build up close to your house, if you can eliminate that, that can reduce your risk.
Dr. Paul Edestad with the Health Department.
People need to realize these are very rare diseases, not very many cases every year, but again, you don't want to be the person who gets it. So again, take the simple precautions we've talked about, and I think that can greatly reduce your risk.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Academy for the Love of Learning, presenting Life is What You Make It, a thought-provoking and inspiring concert and conversation with Peter Buffett, November 7th at the Linzik Performing Arts Center. The Academy for the Love of Learning's mission is to awaken, enliven, nurture, and sustain the natural love of learning in people of all ages. More information at aloveoflearning.org.
Our nearby Santa Fe National Cemetery has just conducted services for some veterans who passed away without survivors, and as such, would have no one to attend interment ceremonies. An initiative called Forgotten Heroes Burial Program remedies that by holding public rites for service members. KSFR's Joe Day attended the most recent local event, where Governor Susana Martinez delivered the eulogy. Here is Joe's report.
Thank you. I'm Joe Day at the Santa Fe National Cemetery. The evocative and mournful strains of Taps are, of course, sounded here fairly often. But this time, Taps was sounded for the interment of the cremated remains of 14 military veterans who, when they died alone, went unclaimed by anyone, family members or friends. The ceremony here included an honor guard and the American flag folding ceremony over the remains. It was part of the Forgotten Heroes Burial Program of the state's Veterans Services Department. Retired Air Force Colonel Tim Hale is department secretary.
The majority of them this time were from Bernalillo County, and typically they're either homeless or they have a home, but they have no family that comes forward to claim the remains or what's left in their probate at the end of the specified period of time. And at that point, we become the family for them.
The eulogy was given by Governor Susana Martinez.
The 14 individuals who we honor here today died without the presence of family or friends to provide for their final needs. Today we stand together beside them so that they are not alone. Although they are no longer with us, they are not forgotten. As governor of this amazing state, I serve in many capacities at various functions. And I cannot think of a higher honor than to serve as family of these 14 veterans. Air Force Senior Airman Rodney Anderson, Navy Hospital Corpsman, Third Class Philip Glenn Armstrong, Army Private First Class William Benson, Army Private First Class George Ellen Blackwell. To the 14 heroes we bury here today, thank you, and may your souls forever rest with God and in peace.
I spoke with the governor after the ceremony as she held the American flag that had covered the remains of the veterans.
You're holding the flag that covered the remains of these soldiers and sailors and Marine Corps veterans. What are your thoughts at this time, please?
It gives me great pride to be able to do this. I held my father's just 10 months ago when he was buried at a veterans cemetery. It's just very difficult. You know, it's hard to die alone. Many veterans are lucky to have someone with them. I can't even begin to imagine how someone dies alone after having so much service.
The simple and somber event was open to the public.
I understand you're a veteran. What are your thoughts having witnessed this ceremony?
I'm so pleased that we have this because so many veterans go unclaimed all over the nation, and I'm so glad that New Mexico has stepped up to give that final salute and honor these people and take them and we become their families.
Your late husband was a veteran. Do you care to share with me your thoughts about this ceremony and how you feel?
Well, it was very soulful and also very sad, and I'm glad I came to be a part of it. I have never done that before.
You placed flowers near the remains of these military people. Why?
As a member of the VA clinic here in Santa Fe and the only one that could get away for this ceremony, we've really felt that we should present something beautiful to these gentlemen that died alone. And so it was the least we could do.
The cremated remains of the 14 veterans will be buried here, and markers will be placed on their graves, as they are on the graves of other veterans. At the Santa Fe National Cemetery, for KSFR News, this is Joe Day reporting.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
12:35 here in the KSFR newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, is the appropriate time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
When you stop and think about it, really think about it, what we call reality is a pretty dicey proposition.
For millennia, humans have been asking the question, what is reality? About as much as they've been asking the question, are we almost there yet? The reality question is one that will probably never be answered. How can it be? Each of us has his or her own version of reality. I would guess that most of the time, most of the people have realities that are fairly close to other people's realities. But all you have to do is follow the news to realize that aberrations are way too common. I mean, there are realities walking around in people that are real whack jobs, and I'll admit right here and now that sometimes I think that my hold on reality is tenuous at best. Doing things and talking and thinking. Is that me doing that? Thankfully, when I think I really am crazy, I have a cure. I watch a rerun of The Lawrence Welk Show. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Marion Cox, Charles Maynard, Joe Day, and Tom Trowbridge. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you, and as always, we hope you join us.